For America has a thousand lights and weathers, and we walk the streets forever. We walk the streets of life alone. It is the place of the howling winds, the hurrying of the leaves in old October, the hard, clean falling to the earth of acorns, the place of the storm-tossed moaning of the wintry mountainside, where the young men cry out in their throats and feel the savage vigor, the rude, strong energies, the place also where the trains cross rivers. It is a fabulous country, the only fabulous country. It is the one place where miracles not only happen, but where they happen all the time. It is the place of exultancy and strong joy, the place of the darkened, brooding air, the smell of snow. It is the place of all the fierce, the bitten colors in October, when all the wild, sweet woods flame up. It is also the place of the cider press, and the last brown oozings of the York Imperials. It is the place of the lovely girls with good jobs and the husky voices who will buy a round of drinks. It is the place where the women with fine legs and silken underwear lie in the Pullman berth below you. It is the place of the dark green snore of the Pullman cars and the voices in the nighttime in Virginia. It is the place where great boats are baying at the harbor's mouth, where great ships are putting out to sea. It is the place where great boats are blowing in the gulf of night, and where the river, the dark and secret river, full of strange time, is forever blowing by us to the sea. The tugs keep baying in the river. At 12 o'clock, the Berengaria moans. Her lights slide gently past the piers beyond 11th Street, and in the night a tree falls in old Catawba, there in the hills of home. It is the place of autumnal moons hung low in orange at the frosty edges of the pines. It is the place of frost and silence, of the clean, dry shocks, and the opulence of enormous pumpkins that yellow on hard, dotted earth. It is the place of the stir and feathery stumble of the hens upon their roost, the frosty, broken barking of the dogs, the great barn shapes and the solid shadows and the running sweep of the moon-whited countryside, the wailing whistle of the fast express. It is the place of flares and steamings on the tracks, and the swing and bob and tottering dance of lanterns in the yards. It is the place of dings and knellings and the sudden glare of mighty engines over sleeping faces in the night. It is the place of the terrific web and spread and smoldering, the distant glare of Philadelphia, and the solid rumble of the sleepers. It is also the place where the Transcontinental Limited is stroking 80 miles an hour across the continent, and the small dark towns whip by like bullets, and there is only the fan-like stroke of the secret, immense, and lonely earth again. I have foreseen this picture many times. I will buy passage on the fast express. It is the place of wild and exultant winter's morning, and the wind, with the powdery snow, that has been howling all night long. It is the place of solitude and the branches of the spruce and hemlock piled with snow. It is the place where the Fall River boats are tethered to the wharf, and the wild gray snow of furious, secret, and storm-whited morning whips across them. It is the place of the lodge by the frozen lake, and the sweet breath and amorous flesh of sinful woman. It is the place of the tragic and lonely beauty of New England. It is the place of the red barn, and the sound of the stabled hooves, and of bright tatters of old circus posters. It is the place of the immense and pungent smell of breakfast, the country sausages, and the ham and eggs, the smoking wheat cakes, and the fragrant coffee, and of lone hunters in the frosty thickets who whistle to their lop-eared hounds. Where is old Dr. Ballard now with all his dogs? He held that they were sacred. The souls of all the dear lost dead went into them. His youngest sister's soul sat on the seat beside him. She had long ears, and her eyes were sad. 2 dozen of his other cherished dead trotted around the puggy as he went up the hill past home, and that was 11 years ago, and I was 9 years old. And I stared gravely out of the window of my father's house at old Dr. Ballard. It is the place of the straight stare, the cold white bellies, and the buried lust of the lovely Boston girls. It is the place of ripe, brainless blondes with tender lips and a flowery smell, and of the girls with shapely arms who stand on ladders picking oranges. It is also the place where large, slow-bodied girls from Kansas City, with big legs and milky flesh, are sent east to school by their rich fathers. And there are also immense and lovely girls, with the grip of a passionate bear, who have such names as Nielsen, Lundquist, Jorgensen, and Brandt. I will go up and down the country, and back and forth across the country on the great trains that thunder over America. I will go out west where states are square. Oh, I will go to Boise and Helena and Albuquerque. I will go to Montana and the two Dakotas and the unknown places. It is the place of violence and sudden death, of the fast shots in the night, the club of the Irish cop, and the smell of brains and blood upon the pavement. It is the place of the small town killings and the men who shoot the lovers of their wives. It is the place where the Negroes slash with razors and the hillmen kill in the mountain meadows. It is the place of the ugly drunks and the snarling voices and of foul-mouthed men who want to fight. It is the place of the loud word and the foolish boast and the violent threat. It is also the place of the deadly little men with white faces and the eyes of reptiles who kill quickly and casually in the dark. It is the lawless land that feeds on murder. Did you know the two Lippy girls? He asked. Yes, I said. They lived in Biltburn by the river, and one of them was drowned in the flood. She was a cripple, and she wheeled herself along in a chair. She was strong as a bull. That's the girl, he said. It is the place of the crack athletes and of the runners who limber up and march. It is the place of the 10-second men and the great jumpers and vaulters. It is the place where spring comes and the young birch trees have white and tender barks of the thaw of the earth and the feathery smoke of the trees. It is the place of the burst of grass and bud, the wild and sudden tenderness of the wilderness, and of the crews out on the river and the coaches coming down behind them in the motor boats, the surges rolling out behind when they are gone with heavy sudden wash. It is the place of the baseball players and the easy lob, the soft spring smackings of the glove and mitt, the crack of the bat. It is the place of the great batters, fielders, and pitchers, the nigger boys and the white, drawling, shirt-sleeved men, the bleachers and the resinous smell of old, worn wood. It is the place of Rube Waddell, the mighty untamed and ill-fated pitcher when his left arm is swinging like a lash. It is the place of the fighters, the crafty Jewish lightweights, and the mauling Italians, Leonard, Tendler, Rocky Kansas, and Dundee. It is the place where the champion looks over his rival's shoulder with a bored expression. I shall wake at morning in a foreign land, thinking I heard a horse in one of the streets of home. It is the place where they like to win always, and boast about their victories. It is the place of quick money and sudden loss. It is the place of the mile-long freights, with their strong, solid, clanking, heavy loneliness at night, and of the silent freight of cars that curve away among raw, piney desolations, with their promise of new lands and unknown distances. The huge, attentive gape of emptiness. It is the place where the bums come singly from the woods at sunset, the huge stillness of the water tower, the fading light, the rails secret and alive, trembling with the oncoming train. It is the place of the great tramps, Oklahoma Red, Fargo Pete, and the Jersey Dutchman, who grab fast rattlers for the western shore. It is the place of old blown bums, who come up in October skirls of dust and wind and crumpled newspapers and beg with canned heat on their breasts. Help old McGuire. McGuire's a good guy, kid. You're not so tough, kid. McGuire's your pal, kid. How about McGuire? McGuire. It is the place of the pool room players, the drugstore boys, the town whore and her paramour, the tough town driver. It is the place where they go to the woods on Sunday and get up among the laurel and dogwood bushes and the rhododendron blossoms. It is the place of the cheap hotels and the kids who wait with chattering lips while the nigger goes to get their first woman. It is the place of the drunken college boys who spend the old man's money and wear fur coats to the football games. It is the place of the lovely girls up north who have rich fathers, of the beautiful wives of businessmen. The train broke down somewhere beyond Manassas, and I went forward along the tracks with all the other passengers. "What's the matter?" I said to the engineer. "The eccentric strap is broken, son," he said. It was a very cold day, windy, and full of sparkling sun. This was the farthest north I'd ever been, and I was 12 years old and on my way to Washington to see Woodrow Wilson inaugurated. Later, I could not forget the face of the engineer and the words, "eccentric strap." It is the place of the immense and lonely earth, the place of fat ears and abundance, where they grow cotton, corn, and wheat, the wine-red apples of October, and the good tobacco. It is the place that is savage and cruel, but it is also the innocent place. It is the wild, lawless place, the vital earth that is soaked with the blood of the murdered men, with the blood of the countless murdered men, with the blood of the unavenged and unremembered murdered men. But it is also the place of the child and laughter, where the young men are torn apart with ecstasy, and cry out in their throats with joy, where they hear the howl of the wind and the rain and smell the thunder and the soft, numb spitting of the snow, where they are drunk with the bite and sparkle of the air and mad with the solar energy, where they believe in love and victory and think that they can never die. It is the place where you come up through Virginia on the great trains in the nighttime, and rumble slowly across the wide Potomac, and see the morning sunlight on the nation's dome at Washington, and where the fat man shaving in the Pullman washroom grunts, "What's this? What's this we're coming to, Washington?" And the thin man glancing out of the window says, "Yep, this is Washington. That's what it is, all right. You're getting off here?" And where the fat man grunts, "Who, me? No, I'm going on to Baltimore." It is the place where you get off at Baltimore and find your brother waiting. Where is my father sleeping on the land? Buried? Dead these 7 years? Forgotten? Rotten in the ground? Held by his own great stone? No, no. Will I say father when I come to him? And will he call me son? Oh, no. He'll never see my face. We'll never speak except to say. It is the place of the fast approach, the hot, blind, smoky passage, the tragic, lonely beauty of New England and the web of Boston, the place of the mighty station there, and engines passive as great cats, the straight, dense plumes of engine smoke, the acrid and exciting smell of trains and stations, and of the man swarm passing ever in its million-footed weft, the smell of the sea and harbors, and the thought of voyages, and the place of the goat cry, the strong joy of our youth, the magic city, when we knew the most fortunate life on earth would certainly be ours, that we were 20 and could never die. And always America is the place of the deathless and enraptured moments, the eye that looked, the mouth that smiled and vanished, and the word, the stone, the leaf, the door we never found and never have forgotten. And these are the things that we remember of America For we have known all her thousand lights and weathers. And we walk the streets. We walk the streets forever. We walk the streets of life alone.